It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, hanging out with us here in the studio. We got a good show lined up for you today. You know, it's Wednesday, so you know who we bring in on Wednesday, Steve Post. The Postman's going to join us here in just a little bit. We'll talk about that and more. We'll talk about what was going on up at Port Royal. I think he was up there this last weekend, so we'll talk to him about what was going on up there as well. And a little bit of NASCAR. You know, we try not to talk too much NASCAR on this show, but unfortunately, Austin, we get stuck talking about it a little bit more than maybe we want to at times. We're so much into the sprint car racing scene and the late model scene and USMTS modified scene that it's kind of hard to squeeze in a little NASCAR, but we got to do it once in a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're race fans. We'll watch all types of racing. I just, I should probably be in NASCAR more than I am, but I mean, NASCAR, I don't want to bag on them too much, but you just gotta.
It is what it is.
Right. That's all you can say.
That's all you can say about it. But you know what? I think this year has been a little bit better than years past. Don't you think a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely think that the next gen cars, you know, definitely help the racing and kind of bring back some like real racing to the sport. I mean, not that the racing was fake or you know, predicted.
But no, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's more of an unknown now. I mean, we're seeing guys that, you know, normally don't win. We're seeing some different headlines with teams that are normally mid-pack teams up front. We're almost to 12 or 11 different winners this year.
Right.
I mean, you don't see that in NASCAR. Yeah. You see maybe five.
Right, right. So let me ask you, Austin, because you're a young guy. You're 18 years old. And do you follow the young guys, or are you more into the veterans that are in the sport? Are you more into watching guys like Christopher Bell and some of the young guys that are coming up through the ranks? What do you prefer to watch when you watch a NASCAR race? Does it really matter to you?
No, I mean, it doesn't really matter until you get out of the car, right? I mean,
right.
We're all in the car. We're the same stuff. We're all the same driver. So, no, I mean, if it's, you could be an old guy racing a young guy and up front, and I'll watch it. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's just as long as it's good racing. I don't care who you are or what you look like. It's, I mean, if you can put on good racing, that's all a fan could really ask for.
I mean, that's really what everybody wants, a good race, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, young guys versus young guys or old guys versus old guys. But the old guys did pretty good last weekend, though, didn't they? It wasn't too bad. We had some guys, older dudes, running up front last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you called Denny Hamlin kind of old. I mean,
he is old.
He's in his early 40s,
how old is
right?
Denny?
He should be like 41, 40.
I don't know how old he is. Let's see. How old is Denny Hamlin? He's 41.
Yeah.
Born in 1980.
But, you know, he's been around the sport for a long time. And, I mean, now he's probably been in the sport 18 years.
Kevin Harvick is 46, Kyle Busch 37, Kurt Busch 43,
jeez.
Martin Truex 41, and the first old young guy is Kyle Larson 29.
Wow.
Joey Logano 32. So what? I mean, I don't know. I kind of like rooting for the young guys though, myself, to be honest with you. You know, there was a time when you hated to see the old guys move down the road, right? You think, all right, what about these guys retiring and what is that going to do to the sport? But really, it hasn't affected it that much. And I think really bringing in the new car that they have this year has really magnified the young drivers, don't you think?
Yes and no. I mean, look at like a Harrison Burton. You know, he's early 20s and he can't get out of the top 30. Or
well,
you know, you see an Austin Cindric who's in his kind of same age as Harrison, and he kind of lucked into one at the 500, and he's been a top 20 car. So I mean, you know, some, I think it's just more a driving style on who it suits better. You can definitely see the cars suit dirt guys a little bit better. You can see some of the older drivers like a Harvick or like a Martin Truex. That's kind of, you know, has some habits built in from racing with the old Cup cars for however many years. That they're still having a hard time trying to adjust to the new car and the way it drives.
Yeah. So Denny Hamlin first last weekend, Kyle Busch second, Kevin Harvick third. That's the old group running up towards the front.
It is. What's going to happen when, you know, there's you kind of mentioned like a 10-year gap, you know, 41 of Denny Hamlin and Larson's about 29, Logano's 32. So what happens when all those guys 40 up plus retire and we're all stuck with these younger guys?
I don't think there's going to be a problem with it because I think the fans are starting to appreciate the young guys a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to change the scenery. Now you go from seeing a mix of young and old, now we're going to see, you know, somewhat young and not anybody probably in their 40s for a couple of years.
You look at Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick. How old is Ricky Stenhouse?
He should be probably 32, 31.
Is he that young?
Let me look.
All right. Take a look at that. Ricky Stenhouse, Michael McDowell, he's getting up there a few years in the age right now. Kyle Larson, Alex Bowman, Harrison Burton, Martin Truex, another old guy. So there's a lot of young guys coming up through the ranks right now, and I'm kind of looking forward to it myself.
He's 34 years old.
Ricky is 34?
Yeah.
So he's young.
Yeah, I would consider him. I think if you're under 40, you can be considered in the group of being in the young NASCAR drivers.
So I think the biggest news of the week so far this week, Austin, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think that Husett's getting hit by that tornado is the biggest story of the week. And we've seen pictures of it. I don't know if you've got any pictures that you can pull up and show the damage that was done to Husett's. It's unbelievable how much damage is done. And they put out a press release today saying they will be ready for the World of Outlaw race this Sunday, June 3rd, up there at Husett's. I am shocked after seeing the damage. You look at the fence on the front straightaway there, how it's laid over. The sound system, the speakers are laid over. The top floor of the suites is completely destroyed. You look at it, that picture right there. That is unbelievable, the damage that was done. The infield, they had some damage done to the infield as well. They, look at that. Is that unbelievable, the damage that was done to that place?
And that's the only the damage that they have is you know, remarkable that there wasn't more.
Yeah. Now, what I don't understand is the debris in the infield. Is that from a building that was in the infield? Or was that from the debris that flew off of the top of those of the suites and flew down into the center of the racetrack? That I don't understand.
I think there's a couple of buildings in the infield. The infield's mostly clear because that's all where all the 410s and the 305s park on a weekly basis with their mules.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that was most of the roof on the suites, because if you go back and look at this picture, let me get it pulled up. The roof's gone. It's
completely
just,
gone.
Yeah, so it's just the front of the building. So, yeah I mean, I believe that's where most of the debris came from, and then all the insulation and some of the finishing products are, you know, are stuck in the catch fence or down on the track itself. You can kind of see off in three there's some debris at the top of the track.
Well, you know, that racetrack, and to be fair, is one of the nicest racetracks in the country. Have you ever been there?
No, I've seen plenty of pictures and videos of it.
It's such a nice place, man.
I think it was nice before Quiring took it over. And I think after this, it just kind of gives some incentive for Todd to even make it even nicer.
Well,
I don't know what else you can do to it, but I mean, it's up there with in the top five of being the nicest
track. What was the guy's name? Chuck Brenner? I can't remember his name, that it actually did the capital improvements to the facility. He spent millions and millions of dollars fixing that place up. And Todd Quarring tried to buy that track several years ago, but they couldn't get together on the price. But eventually, they did get together on the price, and I'm glad they saved the race.
If you remember between the process of Quarring trying to buy the track years ago, they were going to have one race. I can't remember how much the entry fee was, but it was thousands of dollars for an entry fee. And the winner took home I want to say it's maybe $200,000.
But it never happened.
Or the keys of the racetrack.
Yeah.
It never happened.
It never happened.
They had a couple entries, but it just it decimated after that.
Yeah. Well, we ran up there once with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour back in the day, and let me tell you, they don't get any nicer than that. The only track that you can say that's better than that is Lucas Oil Speedway. I mean,
I think Lucas, I would put Knoxville up there too.
Jackson. Jackson's really nice. And both of those tracks owned by Todd Quarring. He ought to be awful proud of those two tracks up there. They're 80 miles apart. If you're a fan and you live up in that area, you're in heaven, right?
You are.
I mean, you just think about it. You've got two sprint car tracks within 80 miles of each other. For us, that would be heaven, wouldn't it? Do we really have an all sprint car track around here other than Double X Speedway?
I wouldn't even call it an all sprint car track. Yeah, I mean, one class races there weekly, but.
But they race there weekly, though.
True.
I mean, what other racetrack runs sprint cars weekly around here? There's not enough of them.
No.
Knoxville. That'd be the only other one, right?
In the state of Missouri, Double X.
Double X. What does it count? Gosh, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. Does it count when you say 305s? You run 305s up there.
They don't race weekly.
They don't race weekly at Osborne?
I'm pretty sure that they don't.
I think it's
bi-weekly.
Oh, it is. So, and then, again, they run them down at Lake Ozark Speedway. Do they do that weekly down there, too? 305s? Do you know? I think they do, don't they?
Theirs is weekly, and I think I'm looking at US36's website right here.
Yeah. So, anyway, US36, one of the great racetracks around this area. I mean, John Bowler does a great job with that racetrack. So, this weekend, what's that going to pay up there at the World of Outlaws? $10,000 to win this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend
it's just a standard
standard outlaw show at River Cities on Friday for $10,000 to win, and then on Sunday, going over to Huset's for $10,000 to win. And they'll come back next week to Knoxville Raceway for two nights, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah,
and then they'll head up to I think Beaver Dam the following week.
I think that's what.
And
it
then
was.
They go to three nights at the High Banks Nationals, I think it's what it's called, at Huset's for $100,000 to win.
So let's talk a little bit more about this three-day show, 100,000 to win, 3,000 to start. That's June 23rd, 24th, 25th at Huset's.
Yes.
And that race, this is a tough decision for some people, right? I guess if you live out on the West Coast, you're going to go to Skagit, right?
Yeah.
Because it pays $50,000 to win for that race, right?
I think
it's on the same weekend.
Yes. If you live, let me pull up my map here.
I'd say if you live within 300 or 400 miles of Skagit, that's where you'd want to go. You wouldn't want to pull halfway across the country to go to Huset's, would you?
No, I mean it doesn't make sense to. I don't. Why would you take a team that's 25 miles or so from Huset's, not Huset's, Skagit, then drive all the way across the nation to Huset's,
right,
to where you know you're going to race against some really tough competition for 100,000 to win? 3,000 to start. I probably won't even cover your fuel to get there and back, or you can go race at home and have a shot at making some good money where you're not going to spend any money getting to the races.
Do you think there were some guys on the West Coast that were probably planning on going to Huset's to race, but now with the price of fuel, the price of motel rooms, and everything else that goes into traveling up and down the road as a team, do you think that's going to keep some of those guys from going all the way to Huset's and staying up there and going to Skagit? Because I've got a feel that there's probably a couple teams that were really thinking about going to Huset's for that 100,000 win, don't you think? No?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think one team would think about it. I might be wrong, but, I mean, it doesn't make sense. If you're in California, it's not a far drive up to Skagit. And then, be honest, they're not going to have as many. You're going to have your good local 410 cars up there that are from California, Oregon, and Washington.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have the heavy competition like you would have at Huset's. It would make more sense as a team in that region just to stay there and not think about spending the money to go race and maybe make the B or the C at Huset's.
So if you're filthy rich and you've got a ton of money in your pocket, does it make a difference?
Depends on where you want to race.
I mean,
do you want to race against the best?
If you could spend $5,000-$6,000 going to Houston's, but $5,000 or $6,000 is like $5 or $6 to you.
Right.
Does that make a difference?
I mean, if you can do it financially and not, you know, worry about it, then
right.
It's up to you. Do you want to go race and have a shot to race again for $100,000, or do you want to go race closer to home and maybe have a shot at making more money for $50,000 and not worry about as many cars?
Well, you know, Rudine's not going to have his car there. What? How about Madsen? You know, he's got the 83 car out here. It's running around the Midwest, mm-hmm. right?
He'll be at Husitz.
You think he'll be at Husitz?
Yeah, because there was, last night at Knoxville, Bowman, Larson, Sweet, and Madsen were all doing a private test. So they were all getting ready for the two-night show at Knoxville next weekend. And then why would you drive all the way back to California when you've been racing here all year?
Right.
For Dirt Cup, just stay with the Outlaws. You almost won at Houston's last week. You lost by 4 thousandths of a second to Ryan Timms. He'll just stay here and race like he does every week at Houston's.
Mm-hmm. Paul says, Kansas City, 93 miles on the road to Washington, passing through. I don't know what that means. I missed that one. Do you know that Todd Quaring donated $10,000 towards the purse at the Wilkert Memorial last Sunday at Port City? Did you know that? At Port Royal?
I did not.
I did not know that either. Listen, if I've got the money that Todd Quaring's got, I'd have a lot of things that I don't have. Todd's been a pretty successful businessman. And,
yes, he has.
You know, his dad kind of helped him get to that spot. But Todd Quaring's got plenty of money. He's not going to be broke anytime soon.
No.
Right? So, this is a big decision for some teams, I would think. But all the West Coast teams, I would think, would show up out there at Skagit for the $50,000 to win. I'm not sure about... I'm just not sure about what I would do if I was... Filthy rich. I think I might send my team to Husitz for that $100,000 if I thought I had a chance to win.
That's it.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. And I think Dirt Cup's one of the biggest races to win on the West Coast. So do you take the chance to go to Husitz and, you know, maybe make the B where you don't? I mean, it pays $3,000 to start the feature. They're going to get a bunch of cars. Let's say, I mean, you don't make the feature, you're going to make less than a grand or so in tow money up there for B main non-transfer. Or do you go race Skagit where, I mean, it's where you race all the time.
Right, yeah.
You know, and you got a better shot at making more. I've said that before, but, I mean, it's all about, it's a business. You got to make smart business decisions on where you go with your money.
Here goes question here all on right. The chat room. Question with these higher dollar teams renting tracks and testing, which has become more and more common now, should testing be limited or open to everyone for a price of a pit pass? What do you think? I don't think so. Listen, these tracks need to make some little extra bit of money, right, to rent
yeah.
these racetracks. I don't think you can just let anybody go in there and do it for a pit pass.
No, I don't know how much it costs to go rent, you know, Knoxville or tracks like that. But I mean, it's out of their way to do a test and tune night for tracks. It's
yeah.
out of the way. It's out of their way to get the track ready on a Tuesday night for teams to come up with their own test. So, I mean, if you're willing to do it and you want to do it, you got to pay for them to do it. I mean, it's open to everybody. It's not. I mean, I can go up there and rent Knoxville if I wanted to. I mean, it's not like it's only your higher teams. I mean, if you're wanting to test and you want, I mean, look at your national touring teams, like, you know, I named off Bowman, Sweet,
right,
Madsen, and Larson. They're all trying to get ready for the two-night show next week. But also, they don't get to race Knoxville weekly, so they need the time on the track before the nationals. And it just shows how valuable, you know, that testing time is to them.
Right. We knew this. Flow Racing Night in America at Tri-City, the late models have been rained out, right?
Yes.
Right. We knew that right before we went on there. We found that out. This weekend, tomorrow, I guess it is, isn't it? The National USAC Midgets are going to race at Tri-City tomorrow?
Yeah, so big weekend at Tri-City coming up. Tonight would have been, you know, like we said, Flow Racing Casual Night in America with super late models. And then tomorrow night is USAC National Midgets. For the first time, I believe, in a couple of years.
World of Outlaw Late Models?
And then the World of Outlaw Late Models for the first time, I believe, since like 2004 or so, back when the track was a half mile.
Yeah.
So it's the first time on the 3/8 configuration, and they'll be there Friday night. So it could have had three big nights of racing, but Mother Nature had other plans for tonight. But, I mean, still, midgets on Thursday and late models on Friday, it's a pretty good gig for them.
And this weekend, if I stand corrected, right, they've got the Worldwide Technology Raceway going on. They've got the race down there at Gateway this weekend too, right?
Yeah, I forgot that the Cup Series is making.
So that's why they're probably doing all this, bringing in all these big series over there to Tri-City, is to try to pull some of those people over there from the big track.
Well, it's nothing,
to the little track.
It's nothing different from when the World of Outlaws used to come to Lakeside.
Yeah,
or when the National Tour came to Lakeside. We always raced on a Thursday night on Cup weekend, or on a Friday night. You always saw your Cup crowd come over to Lakeside.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, we're going to take a break. It's time to bring in our buddy Steve Post, the postman from MRN Radio. He's also the lead pit reporter over there at MRN. He does Wing Nation. He does a lot of different shows. Steve Post is going to join us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with Steve Post.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
CigarPort.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show, his twin brother from a different mother, Steve Post, joins us now on the show. Steve, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. What's going on with you, Scott? Everything good out there?
Oh, you know, it's just, you know, Mother Nature out here. It just rains all the time, it seems like. Man, I'm just getting sick of it, to be honest with you.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, it's been a weird year weather-wise, that's for sure, across the board.
Yeah. So how'd it go last night at Millbridge?
Great. 93 kids.
No kidding.
Out there racing, Scott. Yeah. I think I read 13 or 14 and younger. 93 kids out there running in the various box stock divisions. Just amazing. You know, one division, there's four divisions of cars. One only has 8 or 10. The rest all had, I think, like 21, 29, and 30 respectively.
Oh, wow.
Kids really putting on a good show. It's amazing what's going on out at Millbridge, and you see it as the micros take off down here, and then even last week we had the midgets in town for that Extreme Outlaw Showdown. So I mean, we've got a really, really neat thing going on here, and then we start in 2 weeks with the Summer Shootout out at Charlotte, where there'll be a whole bunch of different other kids racing. So yeah, there's a lot of really good programs for the kids here in North Carolina.
Steve, what classes do they run at Millbridge weekly out there?
On Tuesday nights, it's all the kids. So it's box stocks, beginner box stocks, and cadets. They're all basically the box stocks carts. They're just different with the cadets. They have restrictor plates on them, and they're the really young kids. They're the really little guys and gals out there. So they do that, and then they have a junior wing. And I'm not all that familiar with the junior wing as far as the specs goes. And then on Wednesday night, and they run about every other week. Wednesday night, 600 micros. They sometimes have wings, sometimes non-wing. They have the outlaw carts, intermediates or opens. They rotate in flat carts. They rotate in legends cars. So, and then they have a Saturday series, which is a standalone thing as well. So, you know, what they do is they've got, there's the Tuesday series, which is the kids. There's the Wednesday series, which is headlighted by the 600 micros. And then Saturday, all of the divisions or most of the divisions race. And there's three different programs because so many people in our area are tied up with motorsports, not just NASCAR, but other forms of motorsports, that the Saturday deal is more your local racers. And where your Tuesday and Wednesday deal, there's a lot of connections to big time motorsports, people that can race that are out on the road on the weekend. So
yeah,
they've just carved out something really, really neat here. That is there's no doubt about it.
Steve, you know, we were talking about it a little bit earlier in the show, in the monologue when we opened up the show, about the young drivers coming up through the ranks in NASCAR and how people are starting to migrate towards some of those young guys. They're starting to pick them up as some of their favorite drivers. When you go to Melbridge every week, who do you see? Maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, and I don't mean to do this, but who do you see that has some of the young talent that you see at these young kids that are coming up through the ranks? Who do you think is going to be maybe the next big deal? Maybe that you can pick out of all the kids that you see drive right now.
Yeah, there's two that stand out right now to us, and they're both running in our micro division, and actually one of them won the midget race last week on the first night, opening night. He's a young kid named Gavin Boschel. Both of these
kids
from Mooresville. Gavin Boschel, he's doing some stuff with Keith Coons. He's a real dynamo in the micros, and he's aligned with Keith and doing some stuff there. He's also aligned with Keith for some races, but he's also aligned a little bit with the Chevy development program as well. So I think they're kind of hedging their bets in a couple different directions. And he actually drives for the micro. He drives for Kevin Swindell.
Right.
He's got Kevin calling the shot. So Gavin Boschel is one. And then there's another kid named Brent Cruz. And Brent is running the micros, has run some midget races. He's also ran a fair number of 360 sprint car races with USCS over here. And he's actually done some work in Trans Am, the TA2 road course racing.
Oh, wow.
And he's done well with that. There's a guy, Nick Tucker is his name, and he's got a driver development program for the Trans Am TA2 cars that he is doing, and Brent Cruz is doing that. Cruz is under the Kevin Harvick Incorporated banner, and so that's where a lot of this is coming from as they try to groom him and work him forward. So Gavin Boschel and Brent Cruz, I don't know what direction. I think they both right now are leaning toward want to go NASCAR direction of racing.
Yeah.
And neither one would shock me that in 10 years, if I'm not talking about them on Sunday afternoons, I think both of them are that good. It's amazing how good they are. Brent Cruz right now is just on a tear. He just has a sense and a feel for a race car. And I was talking to Nick Tucker, the guy that oversees the Trans Am program, and he said the kid's every bit as good on a road course in a stock car than he is in a micro or midget. And Scott, that's the thing. And I actually had a conversation with Kevin Harvick a couple of years ago. You know, he said, look at NASCAR now. He said, seven road courses in the Cup Series, a dirt race. He says, we've got to get these kids out diversifying, and Cruz being under the Harvick umbrella, I think that's why you see him in the TA2 car.
Yeah, Gavin Boschel, I watched him win that midget race the other night, right? And he just wore the right rear out on the wall. That kid bounced. I don't know what kind of wheel he's got on that right rear, but let me tell you, it had to be very durable because he just smacked that wall I don't know how many times with that right rear. He refused to give up on the top. And I know that he got into it with the leader there at one point during that race. And I don't know what your thoughts about that was, but it looked like to me that he was ripping the lip around the top, Gavin was. Yep. And then all of a sudden, when he got up to the leader, he started trying to run the middle. And that's where they got together and he spun out the leader.
Yeah, I think when I look at the two kids that we're talking about, Gavin Boschel and Brent Cruz, I think Brent is a little bit more refined in running the fence.
Yeah,
Gavin just beats the crap out of it.
He does.
I mean, and it serves them both well. I mean, they're both, you know, this is not one is better than the other. I think, and we've seen it some this year, Gavin has damaged the right side of his race car a few times. Cruz just seems very, very smooth. But I agree with you in that midget race. He kind of changed lanes, particularly down in 3 and 4, and that's where the problem was. But I'm telling you, these two kids are gassing it up, that's for sure.
Yeah. You were at Port Royal last weekend, right, Steve?
Yeah, what a weekend up there. Wow, Scott, what a weekend.
Yeah. Mm. Kind of give us a rundown of everything that you saw up there last weekend.
Yeah. Well, Todd Weichert, the son of one of the sons, Todd and I are a couple of the boys of Bob Weichert, the legendary team owner. they have had a vision for the Weikert Memorial on Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
Port Royal sits here, and, you know, the racing and everything is good. And in September, they have the Tuscarora 50, which is their big one. And the goal that Todd Weikert has worked with the racetrack is to build up a big spring weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I don't know that it'll ever be the Tuscarora 50, but, you know, that's their goal with it. Well, they've been elbows up on this thing for 7 or 8 years now, and in complete honesty, they have never caught a break. There have been times where one night has been rained out. There have been times where two nights have been rained out. There's been times the rain date has been rained out. The third night has been rained out as mm-hmm. well. So then we had a year with COVID where things were limited and we weren't able to do much up there. So they've had this vision of an entire weekend, camping, tailgate contests, cornhole tournaments. They bring up Wing Nation. We do live shows up there. And they've had this vision of this 2-day weekend, and to their credit, with all of the bad weather and COVID and everything, they have just kept their head down and kept focus on it. Well, Scott, we finally had good weather, and what a weekend. The place was full of people. Just a spectacular crowd, a lot of energy, big buzz, a lot of vibe. And then the racing on the racetrack. I think we had mid-40s All-Star Circuit of Champions plus the Pennsylvania Posse. I think it was like 41 and 44 cars, respectively. And the Saturday night feature, Saturday-Sunday deal, the Saturday night feature, Anthony Macri took it off from Lance DeWeese in the final corner.
Yeah.
And just insane, great race. The whole race was great. A lot of mixing it up. Port Royal race is so good when that track is right. And Macri and Lance DeWeese, they had a caution with four to go. And I mean, and they just had a throwdown for four laps. So, the young kid, Anthony Macri, got the win on Saturday night, a $10,000 win. And then on Sunday, Macri got the win again. It was much easier. He took the lead like on lap 10 and,
right.
You know, won it rather handily. A lot of good racing back in the pack, but nothing up front. And he won $29,000 for that one. So a $39,000 weekend for Anthony Macri. And we all talked as we were hanging out afterwards, having a beer. I think everyone feels like all of the work that we've put in this thing for the 7 or 8 years, we finally see that when the weather cooperates, we've got something here, because there was a whole bunch of people camping and having a good time at Port Royal. It was a fun weekend, that's for sure.
Is there anybody better than Anthony Macri at Port Royal right now?
That's tough to say. If we talk about banging the top, you know, setting him on the dash, I think you can make the case that maybe Brent Marks is comparable,
yeah.
But Anthony maybe this year has established himself a little bit better. But there are times when Port Royal is very finessed through the middle and through the bottom, and everybody pales in comparison to Lance DeWeese there when it gets to that.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't give you a complete yes. If it's a top-heavy track where that wall is the answer, Anthony is pretty good. Now, Lance is pretty good running defense up there.
Yeah.
Lance has told us on Wing Nation, I'm an old guy. I don't go up and bounce off the wall, but I know where to be in front of those guys to keep them from bouncing, you know, or to help them bounce off the wall a little harder to take the air off from them. So Lance is pretty good there as well. If I'm putting my money over the course of time, I'm going with Lance DeWeese.
Oh, I
just
see.
Because of the versatility he has. If you're telling me it is a top heavy, whoever can bounce it off the wall the best, then I might lean to Macri or even Brent Marks. I think they're both really, really good at that style up there at Port Royal.
Right. Brent Marks, he ran second to Anthony on Saturday night, and Lance DeWeese runs seventh. I don't think that's a reflection of how Lance's weekend went. How was his weekend overall? I didn't really get to see.
Well, on Sunday, he came out for hot laps and had a tire go down. So he never got a hot lap
Sunday,
and
sorry.
They missed it a little bit on qualifying. And so that put him, I think he started 16th or 18th and raced forward to seventh. There was very few cautions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly confident if he'd had a fair shot at qualifying, you know, with a couple of hot laps, they'd have started up inside the top 10, and we might have had a comparable race, because I think he looked awful good on Sunday night as well. It's just, you know, sprint car racing, Scott, it the fields are so competitive.
Yeah.
If you get behind early, playing catch-up is a really tough thing to do.
Yeah. I think the biggest news of the week for us here on Mostly Motorsports is the damage that was done to Houston Speedway up there, the tornado that went through there and ripped up that racetrack. But the word came out today that they're still going to have their World of Outlaw race on Sunday. That's pretty good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We had Doug Johnson on Wing Nation yesterday. Doug's the general manager up there and just one of the really good guys in the sport. And we had him on. And what happened is that they raced on Sunday and were supposed to race on Monday night. The
right.
NOSA Sprints, which is a Northern Outlaw Sprint Association, a 410 series up there, Houston's in North, if there is such a thing. And they were supposed to race two nights. And like Doug, I think, told us he left the track at 1:30 in the morning and got home and got a call about 3:30 that and started to get some video of what they believe. And the National Weather Service was going to be there yesterday to determine officially if it was a tornado. I mean, for God's sakes, it looked like a tornado.
And
what happened is that thing hit the tower, hit the press or the suites. And it took the roof and carried the roof down through the home stretch fence and put the roof down in the infield.
Yeah, we saw
and
that.
And so that's why all the debris was in the infield. That was the roof of the suites. The good news is that you think about that. There were some people camping there. Nobody was hurt. They were far enough away. But God forbid if that thing hits 4 or 5 hours earlier.
Oh, boy.
You know, there would have been, even if they were under a rain delay, there would have been people milling around.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And so, Doug told us yesterday that you know, they had planned, the World of Outlaws was planning on happening and that they felt really good about it. And today the formal announcement came, as you just mentioned. But they're going to do it without that row of suites. They've got to build a new control. The biggest thing up there, they had suites, so they're going to move sponsors around. And then the biggest thing is the control tower. Scoring and timing is up there, and so I think they're building something new for that. Now, he did say what was interesting was, you know, while we saw pictures of the front stretch wall and speakers and everything, they fired up the sound system, and the sound system still worked.
Oh,
and
crazy.
So, which is one less hassle that they've had to deal with this week. But my gosh, when I saw those pictures on Monday morning, I couldn't believe it, Scott. I just couldn't believe it. But the good news is no one got hurt.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I don't know if you had a chance to watch that Lawrenceburg race between Sheldon and Kyle, but I don't know about you, but I felt like when that caution came out there right at the end of the race, I think PPM had a problem there, and that brought out the yellow, and they did the green-white checkered, and Larson was in second. Did you feel for a moment that was the setup for Larson to win that race, or did Sheldon feel like he's got enough confidence because he's outrun Kyle a few times now? Do you think he had enough confidence that he didn't feel the pressure of Kyle Larson being right behind him?
I think Sheldon felt pretty confident in his ability, and I think Sheldon, in that instance where you've got to go two laps, I think you prefer an open track as opposed to lap traffic. That was fixing. That last lap was fixing to get real interesting.
It was
because Kyle had got a good run down on the inside in one and two, and was side by side with Sheldon, and it was going to be 2/3 of a lap for the ages is what it was going to be. Once they got an open track, I think that really went to Sheldon's favor. I think in the traffic, and you've seen this, Scott, and this really is not Sheldon and Kyle. In the traffic, a lot of times, the guy in second has an advantage.
No doubt.
You know, throw in the fact that the guy in second is Kyle Larson, and then you're leading the race, you got big problems. And I don't know that Sheldon had big problems, but he was going to have a challenge down in three and four to get the win of that race. I think once that track opened up and he had the two-lap run, then it's a matter of doing what you need to do and don't step on yourself.
Right.
I think that's the thing. And that's where Sheldon's confidence and his driving skill come into play. And he was flawless in those last two laps. There was nothing Kyle could do with him at that point.
Well, I think Logan kind of played a little bit of a play in there too as well on that restart, right? He got down there and kind of mixed it up with Kyle a little bit too.
Yeah, if Kyle had a shot, and I don't know, Sheldon looked awful good in those two laps, so I'm not sure what Kyle could have done. But yeah, any shot that Kyle had, Logan crossing him up over in turn number two, just totally eliminated that. And that's great racing. Logan saw an opportunity to go from third to second. You know, I mean, so I thought, that was a great race on Sunday night or Monday night at Lawrenceburg. What a great way to end, you know, just the Memorial Day weekend, you know, all the great racing with everything from Formula One to IndyCar to NASCAR to great sprint car racing, and then to sit down at Lawrenceburg and just have a great race to put a big old bow around the weekend. But what a good race. World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, boy, they are putting on some shows, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so we'll talk a little bit about the Cup Series. The Coca-Cola 600, Denny Hamlin picks up the win. The old timers come out on top, the top three finishers, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick. The old dudes kind of showed up this last week, didn't they?
Yeah, no doubt about it. We had one of those races where we had everything in that race.
Mm-hmm.
18 cautions, 619.5 miles. And when you get to endurance contests, when you get to keeping yourself in the game, I think these are the type races, this one here, maybe the Southern 500, these are the races where a guy like Hamlin, a guy like Kyle Busch, a guy like Kevin Harvick, they keep themselves alive, and then you get down with four or five laps to go and you have a big crash, and if they've kept themselves alive, look who's at the front of the field. And
right.
I think they did. I think that those survival endurance long races tend to play to the hands of the veteran driver as well. Remember, you know, Denny Hamlin at lap 194 was caught up in that wreck with Ryan Blaney.
Mm-hmm.
But they were able to keep alive and keep going. And Scott, a lot of times with NASCAR, particularly when you have a lot of cautions, and especially when having a big crash at the end, you know, the strategy to win those races sometimes or to get a top five finish is survive. And I think that's where the veterans really shine, where we're at now. I mean, you want someone to go out there and throw them up on the dash and, you know, and give you a green white checker or something. I might go with one of the younger guys, but
yeah.
You want someone that's going to stick around for 619.5 miles.
Right.
I kind of like the old guys there. I think and they represented really well. And Denny Hamlin scores his second win of the season.
You know, to me, it kind of looked like an ARCA race at the end of that deal. There was only 20 cars running at the end of that thing.
Yeah, they wore some equipment out, and
they
and
did.
We're not at a spot. We're actually hitting the ground in Gateway on Friday, and one of the questions are to the teams, kind of the questions we were asking back in February and March: how many cars do you have? Because we wore some equipment out over the last couple of weeks of racing, and so we're going to see. They tore some stuff up at Charlotte on Sunday night, that's for sure, and going to be interested to see who's got the cupboards restocked as well as we go to Gateway this weekend for a new track for the Cup Series.
I'm supposed to say Worldwide Technology Raceway, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to say? But we're stuck on Gateway. The news came out.
Yeah.
The news came out. They sold out that event. How about that?
Yeah, they sold out that event. I heard you guys talk about it a little bit earlier. Not only that event sold out, but Tri-Cities and Pontoon Beach, not too far from there.
Yeah.
They got rained out tonight with the Flow Racing Night in America, but they've got a couple of big nights of racing coming up. I don't know that I'm going to make it tomorrow night for USAC out there, but on Friday night I'm going to make it. They've got the MOA 410 Sprint Cars and the World of Outlaw Case Late Models. And so I'm going to check a new track off Friday night. I've never been to Tri-City there in Illinois. And so,
oh, wow.
You know, St. Louis is a great racing town.
It is.
When you think of the history and heritage of it. And they are between Tri-City and Worldwide Technology Raceway. They're doing it up and bringing motorsports to town in a big way this week.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know what? The Midwest is just great with sprint car racing, right? I mean, let's just face it. We are blessed to have all the sprint car racing that we have. You know, we were down at Lake Ozark Speedway last weekend and went down there. And a great weekend of action down there at that racetrack as well. Have you ever been to the Lake Ozark Speedway?
No, I haven't. That's one I want to check off. I haven't done much in the Midwest. I need to do a little bit better out there. Mm-hmm. I was going to hit Lucas Oil a couple years ago, and COVID hit.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't in the cards with some of the protocols that MRN had in place. The race went off. The National Tour race went off. But just some of the protocols that MRN and NASCAR had, we just felt that, you know, probably best that I – you know, stay out of big crowds because it served us well. We got through it all right, and everything was good. In the moment, I was like, man, I wanted to be there. So there's a lot of those tracks in the Midwest. I'm actually going to hit a place that I've been curious about forever. Since we started sprint car racing, I always talk about a little trek south of St. Louis, about an hour south, called St. Francis County in Farmington, Missouri.
Yeah, sure.
And it's one of these standoff treks that runs 4 tenths. There's two treks that just always intrigue me. Butler in Quincy, Michigan, and I've been there multiple times now. And St. Francis County, they race on Saturday night. Very, very local, very small time 410 sprint car racing. And so I'm gonna hit that on Saturday night because it's one of those places I've wanted to check off. And you know, with Wing Nation, a 410 sprint car driver at St. Francis County to me is as good as a sprint car driver running the World of Outlaws and everywhere in between. So we're going to go support some local racers there and maybe tell a few stories about some of those guys down at St. Francis as well. So, just a great weekend. But back to your point, the Midwest, so many great racetracks. I need to spend a little bit more time there. That's easy to say, but I need to spend a little bit more time there at some point.
When you live on the East Coast, it's hard to get to the Midwest a lot, right?
Well, you look at it, and then you look at and my life is dictated so much by the NASCAR schedule.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm glad we've added this race at Gateway. You know, we have the two races at Kansas, and it seems like more and more we have late starts and night races that kind of interfere with things. You know, I mean, is Texas Midwest? Yeah, I guess.
Kind of.
You know, but yeah, in Michigan. So, you know, we don't do the Indy race. The Indy has their own radio network. We used to have Iowa Speedway. Now we have the trucks at Knoxville. But, you know, it's not an area that I get to nearly as much as I'd like to, that's for sure.
Yeah, I hope they make Iowa Speedway into a dirt track. So just so you know, I've been pushing for that a little bit lately. I think it'd be an excellent dirt track and a great place to hold big events. I think they hold, 30,000 people up there at that place. That'd be more than enough seats, I think, to have some dirt track racing up there at Iowa Speedway. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but that's on my wish list anyway. Steve,
seven-eighths of a mile, that's a big track. Seven-eighths of a mile would be a big track.
That'd be a balls-out track. That's what that would be. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
It'd
be like West Virginia Motor Speedway up there, that big monster 5/8 mile track that they just reopened again. But crazy stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool. Yeah, anytime you open a racetrack, you're good with me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Steve. Steve Post, his appearance has been brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to come over here and be on the show with us each and every Wednesday. What do you got coming up on Wing Nation and some of your other shows, Steve?
Wing Nation, we wrapped that up this week. We have we had Dominic Selzy, because there's a lot of good things happening on the West Coast with California, with Oregon, and with Skagit. So there's a lot going on out there. We had Dominic Selzy to talk about that. We also had Doug Johnson on Wing Nation, and that's all available right now because we recorded and posted it yesterday. Doug updating us from Husitz, what's happening there. When we look at our weekend program for Wing Nation, we had to record a little early because of the Port Royal trip. So we've got Johnny Gibson on. He's being inducted along with others into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Of course, Bob Baker is a friend of yours and a friend of ours as well. And so we had Johnny Gibson on our weekend program. And when we want to talk a little NASCAR racing, we have Crew Call. That'll drop tomorrow on Motor Racing Network. Greg Ives, who is Alex Bowman's crew chief, talking a little bit about Charlotte and talking a lot about what they're going to face at Gateway. So lots of neat stuff out there this week that we have out there for people to take a listen to, take a look at.
Steve, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us here each and every Wednesday on Mostly Motorsports. Thank you so much for doing so. It's always good to hear about Millbridge and what's going on out there as well. So thanks again, my friend, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you.
You got it, Scott. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
All right, there you have it. Steve Post, the Postman, joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. I don't know if you been listening to the show. If you have been, you know that they've got a new track tribute going on at Ascot Park. It's about Ascot Park, I should say. It's going through October 1st. It's going on right now up the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You need to get up there and check it out. This racetrack was in Gardena, California. A great history behind this racetrack. They got all kinds of information about some of the drivers that drove up there. They've got cars up there in the Hall of Fame as well. Go up there and check it out. It can't get any better than right now. to go up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out the Ascot Park Tribute. Again, a great, great facility that's no longer around. It was closed up in the 80s. And also, we want to remind everybody that the NASCAR Truck Series is going to be visiting Knoxville Raceway on Saturday, June 18th. You can buy some tickets for the second floor at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum for only $80. You can go up there, sit there. If it's cold out, it's going to be warm in there. If the weather is just not nice, you'll be in a nice, comfortable situation up there on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. So get up there and check them out. And don't forget, they still have the drawing going on for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. Now, I told you yesterday on the show, I found one of these cars online for sale for $150,000, folks. And they're going to have a drawing for this race car that's only one of 1,000. So if you want to enter and have a chance to win that Corvette, you can do so at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette C8R contest.com. Again, Corvette C8R contest.com if you want to have a chance to win that Corvette. Man, I'd like to win that sucker. That'd be nice for the pocketbook, wouldn't it, Austin, if you could win that car?
Yeah.
Would you sell it so you could spend money on your sprint car team if you did that?
I'll just put my money into buying sprint car tickets for the sprint car raffle.
Because you want that 410, right?
No, I just want a free car. I mean, it's not free. It's going to cost me $20 a ticket, which is, I mean, you spend $20 and you want a car that's worth, you know, about $100,000. It's not a bad deal. I wouldn't mind a Corvette, but I'd take the race car any day.
Yeah. So there you have it, folks. We've got a Corvette and a sprint car that you can win up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Austin, what are you going to do this weekend? Are you still going to go to I-80 and then XX on Sunday?
Yeah, that's the plan. I was just going to really focus on going back to XX this Sunday.
Did you have fun down there last Sunday?
I did, actually. They gave us a really good track. Normally, XX is known to be kind of really, really slick, and they had it really heavy for the heat races, and it made for a good transition for me for my first night down there. And we found a couple things wrong with the car for the feature, and know what we need to do to make ourselves better on a slick track. And when we go to Lucas Oil here in September for the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan race, it always is really slick. So. It's an easy 2-hour drive down to XX on Sunday night and get a good night of racing in and get a good test and tune on getting our slick track setup dialed in. So yeah, that's our plan for this weekend.
Is I-80 Friday night?
Yeah, I-80 is Friday night. I need to get some experience on a half mile. I haven't been on a half mile since Lakeside in 2020.
That baby's a get with it track too, bud.
Yeah.
Just so you know,
I need to get comfortable in half miles now. I went to Knoxville once and didn't make any laps, made 3 laps in qualifying. That was it. But now I gotta start racing around some more different tracks and get some more experience built up and see if we can't get any better in our own car.
Yeah. Well, you had to buy some parts this week too, didn't you, bud?
I spent a lot of money. It hurts.
God, I hate that for you. What do you do, though?
We'll give everybody a Hoosier Tire update. $333 for a right rear tire.
I thought it was $334.
Yeah.
It was $334.
I was trying to save $1. But.
Yeah, right. So that's extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, from what
I mean, what'd you pay last year for a tire?
$240,
and now it's almost $100 more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to ask you this, and you be honest with me. Do you feel that the people that are selling these tires are taking advantage of the people that are buying them?
I guess you could say their
price go up? Our dog here. You seeing our dog in the shop?
Yeah, we got a live audience now.
Yeah, we got a live audience today. Texas.
You know, I'm not sure what I'm. You know, the price increases on all the materials have gone up. So, I mean, it makes sense that the prices are getting increased, but you know, Hoosier's always been known for price gouging tires. that they're trying to get, you know, the most money they can out of a product. And I mean, it's a little ridiculous.
You think they're taking advantage of you?
Yeah, and especially when I'll use Jamie Ball as an example. Jamie Ball had a left rear tire at Knoxville just completely roll the tread off the tire.
I saw that.
Half the tread on the tire was gone. The tire was brand new. Maybe had 8 laps on it, and it rolled the tread off of it. And
you paid $300. How much is the left rear?
$395. And I don't have a problem paying that much money. Yeah. But you better have good quality. And you can't produce quality, then it's not worth that money. And you know, at some point they're going to feel the repercussions from that. But right now, it's, you know, nothing's really changing on it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show today, and Austin always does a great job. He's always brings a lot to the show, and we're lucky to have him here as the producer of Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. We are paying over $500 for a right rear in Australia right now, is what Ben's saying. Can you imagine that?
I feel bad for you.
Huh? That is terrible. That is tire abuse right there.
Jeez, $500 for a right rear.
Hey, Ben, just so you know, I sent that stuff out to you 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I am shocked that it's not there. I hope it didn't get lost in the mail, because I sent that stuff out to you. I sent you just a little bundle of stuff. So hopefully you'll get your swag here before too long. That's all I hope. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. It's all been brought to you again by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor, saying thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com. Serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.